Welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Tori.
Hey, I'm Puma.
And on this podcast, what do we talk about, Puma?
Well, we talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Everything
in between, which is kind of ironic because some of the things that are in between Jesus and life are all the bloopers and mistakes that we make from, you know, time to time. And this is actually our fourth attempt to get this podcast started here in the last 5 minutes. So we had a little bit of the giggles, so the summer, I don't know what you call the summer.
I would say summer fever, the heat, the bugs, I don't know.
Summerish, but we are so glad that you joined us today.
Yes.
It's I mean, what a great day to talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Yeah.
And so where have we been, Tori?
We have been in our identity series, really, who are we in Christ? And this is kind of the focal point as we kind of wrap up this series, because we're going over, again, a spiritual truth of who we are in Christ, but not just like a spiritual truth. But when you take all the things into account, all the things we've talked about over the last several months, what is or what should be the defining factor for us as those who believe in Christ?
Yeah, our identity. You know, this whole issue of who am I? What is my identity? What am I about? Who am I? Who am I in Christ? Our key passage for this series has been Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 3. But it really talks about that we've been blessed in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. That if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you truly have accepted the truth that we are sinners by nature and by choice, and that Jesus was the Son of God and the Son of Man. He was God and man, and he lived, he died, he rose again, paying the penalty for your sin and mine. And you've trusted in Jesus and Christ alone for salvation, to save you from the consequences and penalty of your sin. And he saves you to a restored relationship with God. If that is true of you, you have been blessed with what's in every?
I mean, basically everything.
Every blessing that God has as a father who loves and wants to give good gifts, every blessing you and I have received. See, the issue isn't, has God blessed me? The issue is, do I really understand the blessings that he's already given me?
Yeah.
And that's kind of where we've been. We've been highlighting different truths that the Bible communicates, that blessings that we have in Christ. And really, these things are true of us the moment we trusted Jesus as Savior.
Yeah.
And so we've gone through a number of them, and we'll probably highlight some of them later on this podcast. But as we kind of wrap things up today and really kind of put an end to this particular series that we're doing, I want to kind of share a story probably many can relate to this.
Story time with Puma.
Story time with Puma. When we were kids in grade school, in PE class, I loved sports, PE. So I was, you know, super excited, you know, get to PE class in fourth grade, fifth grade, and we're lining up there, and the PE teacher would always say, all right, let's just choose two captains. And of course, you got the, you know, the super excited kids always are raising their hands like, hey, me. So he picks two captains, and then he says, all right, we're going to play dodgeball.
Nice.
And so all the rest of the kids in the class line up on the line, the boys and the girls. And you know what's going through the mind. Some of you that are like, oh, well, dude, man, I got a rocket for an arm. You know, I'm going to be chosen, you know, one of the first ones. You know, in fact, they're going to be blessed if they pick me. But then you have some of those kids, you know, the kid that's got the glasses with the tape between the eyes. And, you know, he's, you know, only like 3 foot, you know, two in fifth grade and super tiny. And you got the, you know, the girl that, you know, is trying to figure out, you know, how to do her hair and her nails, and, you know, really has no athletic ability. It's all the kids are lined up there, and the captains choose one other. And what is it that you don't want to be, Tori?
You don't want to be last.
You don't want to be the last kid picked.
No.
Why not?
Well, that's one, embarrassing, but then, I mean, you're not wanted. You're not part of the group. You're not part of the team.
Yeah, and what label comes with that? Some of the labels.
You're a loser.
A loser.
Yeah, you're not skilled.
Yeah, loser. Yeah,
pathetic.
You just, yeah, like you're a waste of our team. We don't want you.
Yep.
Right? I mean, and it's interesting because you have moments like that in grade school where, you know, you have a lineup, and sometimes those labels stick with us, right? We go through life, you know, people, whatever situation, if you don't measure up to the moment, whatever the expectation is, oftentimes, you know, kids get a label. They're, you know, a loser, or they're not smart, or they're not athletic, or whatever.
Right.
And those things, you attach those things to yourself, and you start living out that identity. You start believing these things are true of me, that, yeah, I'm not athletic, therefore I'm not valuable or wanted, or I'm not smart, therefore I'm not valuable or wanted, etc. And, you know, this is what happens throughout life, not just when you're kids, but also, you know, as we get to adults, right? We apply for jobs and nobody seems to want to hire us.
Right.
And we think that, wow, I must be a loser. I must not be, you know, I don't have the skills or whatever. And we see our identity based upon our acceptance or rejection of, you know, employment or whatever.
Yeah.
This never goes away.
You know, it's interesting too, Puma, because I think a lot of people, at least in my experience, when they get labeled something at a young age, or they just are, I don't know, they're told by their parents that you know, you'll always be the stupid kid, or you'll never become anything. The more they repeat that to themselves, like you said, they grow up and they have this identity of, who am I? I'm this worthless, no good, no one's going to like me mentality. And it does. Some identities are so impactful. It changes them from childhood to adulthood. And it's really sad because a lot of those identities aren't true. Now, they could be true. You could be unathletic.
Right.
But the more negative, condescending, just mean, spiteful things people say, you're never going to be accepted.
Right.
No one's ever going to be your friend. I mean, those can be so damaging, so damaging. But on the flip side, if you get a real true identity in Christ, it can be so life-giving.
Mm-hmm. You know, thoughts early on is the opinion that matters most is the opinion that you trust.
Yeah.
And so all these things that God has said are true of us, do we really believe what he says is true of us? And so we're just going to share one last one to kind of wrap it all up here today.
Yeah, no, that's good. Yeah, let's dive in. Okay, Puma, so here we are wrapping up this series. What is this last supernatural spiritual truth of those in Christ?
Ephesians 1:3, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." And then the very next thing he says, "For he, God the Father, chose us, you and me, in him, in Christ," and this is amazing, "before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight." Before the creation of the world, God chose to view us holy and blameless in Christ. We either believe that or we don't. And the significance of that statement is that my being acceptable to God, or God's acceptance of me, is not based upon me. It's not based upon what I do. It's not based upon what I have. It's not based upon my successes. It's not based upon my achievements. It's not based upon my associations. It's not based upon my personal character or anything. He says that my acceptance to God the Father is who I am in Christ, and before the world even began, before the world was even created, that God, in his love for me, chose to see me as holy and blameless, as without sin, being righteous in his sight, because he sees Christ in me before the creation of the world, not me in me.
Wow.
Which is just amazing. It really is amazing. Another verse that I just love is 2 Corinthians 5:21, that he who had no sin, Jesus, became sin for us, so that in him, in Christ, again, it's because of Jesus, in Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. That to have a relationship with Almighty God is based upon who we are in Christ as holy and righteous and blameless before him.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it just, the very thought that an almighty, holy, cosmic God would see people and want us, accept us, choose us, adopt us. I mean, what are some of the things we've gone over in this series, Puma? We've gone over so many key, you know, characteristics, but I think this last one, you know, we are in Christ. He accepts us.
Yeah. He accepts us. We are holy and blameless in his sight. We are acceptable to God because of Christ and all the other things that come with that. I mean, because we are in Christ, that therefore we're forgiven. Mm-hmm. We talked about being reconciled to God, or we have access to God. We've been rescued from the dominion of darkness. Mm-hmm. We're no longer condemned. You know, we're adopted. We are so many other things that we really didn't talk about. We're redeemed, we're glorified. You know, we're part of God's household. We're complete in Christ. We're part of a royal priesthood. I mean, there's so many other things that we could have talked about. The Bible just communicates who we are because of Jesus. But this is the big idea today, is that because of Christ, I am acceptable to God. Mm. It's not because of the church that I go to. It's not because of my morality. It's not because of my political party. It's not because of the family that I have. It's not because I have gone to maybe a Christian college, or I have a theological degree, or because I'm involved in certain ministries. These are not the things that make us acceptable to God. Mm. What makes us acceptable to God is Jesus, is Christ in us, because he chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's amazing that there's no, I mean, other than our faith, right, our belief in this truth, it's not contingent upon our good works, that our identity in Christ has nothing to do with, like you said, our morality, or, you know, our Bible degree, or our Bible knowledge, or, you know, our anything. And I think it's so easy to think I have to earn God's approval for God to accept me. You know he died for my sins, he's my savior, but, you know, Jesus, although he is my savior and God, and he calls me friend, I still have to do or earn the full acceptance. Right. He accepts me partially, but the full acceptance, I don't know. Like, if you're like me, I feel like I have to earn God's full acceptance sometimes.
Right. I think one, like we talked about, in Christ we are forgiven. We are forgiven. It's not that we have to earn forgiveness.
Yeah.
And when we, you know, still sin, we go back to what God has said. In Christ, I am a forgiven person. In Christ, I am no longer a condemned person. Yeah. And so we need to live by believing those truths of who we are. Mm-hmm. We talked about being a child of God. Well, you know, I don't always feel like a child of God, or I think that I'm a child of God if I, and fill in the blank,
right.
I do certain things or I have certain things, then I feel like I'm a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
No, he made you a child of God because of who you are in Christ. It's in Christ that you are adopted, that you are his child.
Well, I think part of why this is so hard for us, I mean, as people, is because we live in a world where love and acceptance is so conditional.
It is.
It is. I mean, even with your good people, whether, you know, your boss, your spouse, your siblings, your neighbors, it's hard to wrap our minds around this idea of a God who truly loves us because he wants to, not because of what we bring to the table.
Right. Out of his pure choice.
Yeah.
And loves us when we, let's be honest, are not lovable.
Right, exactly, right, yeah. If it comes to earning love, we definitely earn the opposite of that. Right.
It is amazing, isn't that true? Like, so often we think we can earn God's love.
Hmm.
Even in the church, you know, as Christians, we still think that somehow we have to earn God's love. We need to do certain things in order for God to accept us.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm not saying that we should all go sin and do whatever we want. That's that's not the takeaway from
right,
that.
Yeah, we're not abusers of God's grace.
No, it takes the pressure off, right? I can, I mean, what's the blessing of healthy relationships when you feel like you are accepted by that person?
Mm-hmm.
You feel like you are significant to them, that there's a security in that relationship.
Yeah.
So the pressure's off. I can just relate and love and do and experience all the blessings without the baggage. Mm-hmm. There's a security there, a significance there, and I'm accepted.
Yeah. Well, and that we're known too, right? Because we're fully known and fully loved. And I think if you're like me, a lot of us, if someone fully knew Tori, if someone fully knew everything that I thought, that I've done, that I've said, that I, you know, fill in the blank, I mean, let's be real, most people would not want to be my friend. And that's probably true the other way around. If I knew everything about Puma, everything about right. you guys, there would be some barriers, at least to the point where I'm not fully trusting. I don't really accept everything about you, you know?
Yeah, nobody wants that.
No one wants that.
Nobody wants that full disclosure or fully disclosed.
Right. Which would make this gospel truth so amazing, that Jesus Christ knows us fully, that God, the Almighty God knows us, and still extends forgiveness, redemption. You know, he calls us his kid. I mean, there's all these blessings despite fully knowing us. And that truth humbles me. And I think this idea of us being accepted in Christ, it's not necessarily hard to understand. It's hard to accept, ironically.
No, that's good.
It's hard to accept that God accepts me. Because in my life, I see contingent, you know, I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back, relationships every day.
We still feel like we need to do something to earn.
Right.
We just can't accept that truth. When he says that he chose us in Christ before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. See, it's one thing if I just choose something. I go to the store and I just pick something off the shelf. Right? I just choose something, yeah. Right? But we forget, how can God view us as holy and blameless in his sight? It's not like he just waves a magic wand and we're holy and blameless. Right. No, in order for you and I to be holy and blameless in God's sight, we need to be perfectly righteous. And the only way for you and I to be perfectly righteous is for a perfectly righteous one to stand in our place. Yeah. And that is, before the creation of the world, that God chose to view us as holy and blameless in his sight, knowing full well of what it would cost God in order to view us as holy and blameless in his sight before the creation of the world, that my salvation and my relationship with God was purposed and valued and significant to him, and I was wanted by him, knowing what it would cost him. That's what's so amazing to me with this verse. For God to view me that way, before I even existed, knowing who and what I am and what it would cost him in order for him to view me that in real time, in human history, and he did it anyway.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Right.
You see, the pressure should be off for us, that we don't have to perform to get God's favor. We don't have to perform for God to accept us. Mm. We don't have to have all the right things in the right way in order to be significant to God. We were significant, we were accepted, we were valued, we were secure in this relationship before the creation of the world. The pressure's off. This is where true freedom comes from. This is where we can truly be free to live life in a way that honors God, that represents him well, that loves people well, without all the baggage that we just seem to attach to ourselves over and over again.
Yeah. Well, and it all goes back to Jesus, right? I mean, get in Christ, without Jesus' sacrificial death for our sins on the cross, none of this would be possible. Because you're right, Puma. It takes a perfect, holy God, or the Son of God, a holy Son, Jesus, to make these blessings possible. Because our sin does deserve wrath, punishment, and judgment. And yet in Christ, we are forgiven. He removes what we do deserve and gives us his righteousness. And because we are righteous in God's eyes, we're not righteous, I mean, we sin, right? But in God's eyes, he declares us, his imputed righteousness for us declares us holy. All these blessings are possible. And that is our identity. In Christ, this is who we are. Not because we're perfect, but because he has given us his perfection. And that is hard to accept.
It is hard.
Because we know ourselves, right? I mean, we know the things we think about. We know the things that we want to do. We know the things that we have done. And we're not worthy. We're not worthy. Right. Except for the fact that Jesus Christ says, yes, you are. In my son's blood, you are worthy. And that's amazing. That's humbling that's who I am in Christ.
Part of the pride is I need to add to it, right? Or I need to,
yeah,
You know, I just can't accept the reality that I bring nothing to the table.
That's true.
But the truth is that I'm holy and blameless in His sight, period, because of Jesus, not because I'm a pastor, not because we have a podcast, not because we have maybe done good moral things, not because I'm a member of a church, not because I'm involved in a ministry. We pride ourselves on these things, and we make those things our identity, that these are the things that make us significant to God. You know, our spiritual, if you say our spiritual medals, so to speak.
I sponsor a kid in Africa. We pride ourselves on our morality, which is crazy because even our righteous acts are filthy to the Lord.
Right.
But you're right. We do. It takes real humility to accept this.
Yeah. So, you know, part of our AQ as we kind of wrap this up, you know, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, we could ask the question then, is Jesus really enough for us? Is what God says about who I am in Christ, is that really enough for me? Is that satisfy me? Or do I feel like I need to still do something or have something or be something else in order to be acceptable to God, in order to feel significant as one that God says He loves, or to feel secure, I need to do something in a sense to secure this relationship.
Yeah.
You know, what do I do? Is Jesus enough?
Yeah. Oh, that's good, Puma. Yeah. If all we have, right? If our only identity is that we are in Christ, is it really enough for us? If we lost our medals, if we lost our status, like you said, if we lost our achievements, our Bible degrees, our church membership, if we lost our titles as a homeowner, as a husband, and all we had is Christ?
Well, if others around you see you as maybe an unspiritual person. See, we're not talking about, you know, the things that we know we shouldn't do. We're talking about the freedom to live as God intended us, to walk in righteousness, to walk in truth, to abide in Christ, to abide in God's word, to love people, to serve people. See, these are all things, but this is what a relationship is, right? I mean, you're my son. I want to do things with you and for you because I love you, not because this is what gives me significance or makes me acceptable or, you know, makes me secure.
You know? That's true.
I want to be free to enjoy you and to love you. And this is what God intends for us, you know? So the pressure should be off. You know, if we truly embrace what God says about who we are in Christ, my identity in Christ, and we just, in this series, we just, you know, scratch the surface.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, see, all the things that we talk about on the Puma podcast, Jesus' life and everything in between, it's not meant to be an end. It's meant to be the beginning of more learning and digging into God's word to see what God has to say. Because this well has a bottomless, is bottomless of who we are in Christ, our identity in Christ, to grow in our understanding of that in this life. And so we really want to encourage you to continue to read God's word, to continue to ask, you know, good introspective questions. The opinion that matters most to you is the one that you trust.
Yeah.
And so do we really believe that what God says about who He, what He thinks of us, do we really believe that to be true? If we do, let's live in that. If not, why not?
Yeah, no, that's really good. Yeah, thank you, Puma. And yeah, our prayer is that we would all accept the Lord's acceptance of us, that we would really believe that in Christ we are His child, and we are redeemed and adopted and forgiven, and those spiritual truths, really pride is the biggest thing. Yeah, and that's a good, great AQ. You know, what is hindering you? Would you be okay if that's all you had is Jesus? Well, guys, thank you for joining us. And as always, if you have any questions or concerns or complaints, maybe not complaints, but yeah, feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you guys. And just thank you for joining us on this journey. And tune in next time for a new series, friends. It'll be exciting, and hope to see you there. Until then, take care, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.